Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, here we are. This actually is hour number three. Just a little reminder, you could have been listening 2 hours ago when we started at 8 o'clock. And if you want to know where we are for all 4 hours every Saturday morning, simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, push the podcast button at the top portion of the page, and you can find out where we are. I am here today with Dr. Jerry Mixon, and it's just the two of us, Jerry, but yep. We've done this a few hundred times.
Yeah, well, Samara gets to take the morning off.
How dare she? That's just not right. It's just not fair. But she has a life, and which
How is
not
fair?
To say we don't. Anyway, we're happy for her, but in any event, she'll be back next week. Mm-hmm. And she's, knowing her and her husband, Sunil, Dr. Sunil Umat with Northwest Face, they do a lot of tandem writing. Sunil does a lot of writing all by himself. He often goes off on 100-mile rides all the time. But they do some tandem writing, too. So hopefully they're getting in some of that today. If you have a question for Dr. Jerry Mixon, all you have to do is give us a call here. It's 1-888-312-5757 as of right this moment. All four, maybe even five lines now are available, so you can call in. 1-888-312-5757. I was just looking here. We took a ton of calls during the first 2 hours. In fact, I'd say, Jerry, you know, often on these holidays, which Jerry and I are almost always here, I think over the last 22 years, we've only done pre-recorded shows just a handful of times. Yeah. We're here.
Yeah. I do remember a couple of years ago, Christmas Eve was a Saturday.
Oh, that's
and
right.
We pre-recorded that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I remember that. But because of the technology available to us, I know I've done the show from Hawaii probably a dozen times. You've done it from all over the world.
I've done it from China, Spain, Italy, Mexico, Hawaii, and all over the United States.
That's right. Yeah. So we try to be here. Yes, this is not a pre-recorded show. Yes, you can call right now, even though it's a three-day weekend. Happy Labor Day weekend, by the way. Fortunately, more people are laboring these days, so that is good news.
1,300,000 new jobs last
month.
That's
right. Boy, they're just coming back. It was a nasty few months we've had.
Yep.
But hopefully, Lord willing, we're coming back. Again, if you've got a question, now is the time. Give us a call. 1-888-312-5757. You talked about this a couple of hours ago on our first show, but you sent out an article to all the doctors and obviously a few others. You sent it to me. I've already forwarded it on to a number of my friends regarding cognitive decline and some of the reasons. Right. Why don't you share that? It's quite fascinating.
Well, there is a, quote, normal age-related cognitive decline. You know, we tend to hit our peak mentally in our late 20s to mid-30s. And from then on, there is a slow decline in function. For some people, it's barely perceptible. And some people, it's pretty steep. But there are things that can impact how fast we're going downhill. The higher your blood pressure, the faster your mental decline. The higher your average blood sugar, the faster your mental decline.
Okay.
But there are medications that are commonly used that accelerate our mental decline. Things such as the anticholinergics, the drugs that are often used to increase bowel motility or for some respiratory problems or for atrial fibrillation.
Blood pressure?
Metoprolol, yeah, is a common blood pressure, and it's designed to slow down heart rate. And it is a potent anticholinergic, and it does accelerate mental decline. Benadryl, diphenhydramine, which is present as a as an antihistamine and as also as a sleep aid, over the counter, used by millions of people.
You bet.
Accelerates mental decline. So there's a whole list of drugs. So I'm just telling anybody who has sleep issues, gastrointestinal issues, breathing problems, cardiovascular issues, anybody who's being treated for any of these conditions should ask their physician whether or not this drug is an anticholinergic. Using anticholinergics for short-term use or in low doses is not a big issue. But the longer you use it and the higher the doses and the more anticholinergics you're using, because many people may be on two or three of them and not realize it.
Absolutely.
You can get a significant increase in the rate at which your brain function goes downhill.
Well, we talk about this often at Longevity Medical Clinic because it is a proven fact that as people get older and they approach their 60s, their number one concern is their mind.
Yes.
It's not cancer. It's not their heart. It's their mind.
Most folks are not that afraid of dying if they'll just die and get it over with.
Yeah, that's true.
What they really are afraid of is losing their mind, ending up in the nursing home, not knowing who you are or where you are.
It's kind of like dying twice.
It is. Yeah. First your brain dies, then you die. And dying once is enough for me.
In any event, Longevity Medical Clinic is not a weight loss clinic. It's not a dementia clinic. It's not a lot of things, but we do cover a lot of things.
Sure. Well, our goal is to treat the normal but undesired changes of aging. And there's a lot of stuff that is normal simply because it often happens, but that doesn't make it good. Normal and good are not the same thing. Okay. Yes, there is a normal decline in mental function with age, but that doesn't make, you know, losing your capacities, your mental capacities good. It just means it's common. Getting slower, fatter, weaker, less sexual, you know, going downhill so your joints are stiff and you can't run or jump anymore and you find yourself getting tired even just walking, you know, short distances, half a mile or something. These are simply unacceptable to me.
They're normal.
But they're normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I want people in their 70s and 80s to not just be able to walk, I want to be able to run. I want to be able to jump. You know, I'm 73. I've got a 8-year-old daughter at home. I want to see her grow up, get 2 or 3 graduate degrees, get married, have some kids, and I want to watch it all, not from a nursing home, but from the ski slopes.
Yeah. So, yeah. Knowing you, that'll happen. So that is very, very encouraging. So what's normal, you don't have to put up with it. We've talked about this. In fact, I almost mentioned that during the last hour because this overall topic has come up. Mental acuity is so important. And I know this sounds silly, but I'm 71, and I actually feel more mentally sharp mm-hmm. than I did 30 years ago. Now, some of our listeners know that for 27 years, I dealt with a lot of depression off and on. Now, I was active. I was successful in business. That's how we ran into each other. But I still had huge issues, anxiety, depression. Oh, my God.
There were times for months at a stretch that you were not functioning.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But here I am at 71, and literally my own son has confirmed this. I think you have, too. I am more acute. Is that the right word?
Yes.
I am sharper. I am more with it.
You're doing a better job now than you did 20 years ago when I met you.
And so this is what I want to share, and this is why when we have people call in just a few minutes ago during the last program, during the last hour, Bill from, where was he, Max Welton on Bainbridge, he said he's been a patient at Longevity Medical Clinic for 9 years. Mm-hmm. He said he hasn't been sick once. He's feeling better now than he did when he became a patient. This is reality. Do not have, please, folks, develop that fatalistic attitude that you got to go downhill just like everybody else. It may be normal.
Yep. But let them go downhill without you.
That's right. But here's more importantly, if your doctor says, well, yeah, but that's normal for your age. When you complain about being cold, when you complain about ED, when you complain about all these other issues, and you say, well, you got to understand, Bill, Sarah, Mary, Harry, you're 59 or you're 72. That's normal for your age. You run like the wind.
You don't want to be normal for your age.
That's right.
You know, normal for your age means you're falling apart on schedule. And my schedule and his schedule are very different.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. So, no, I want you jogging back up the hill. I don't want you sliding down the hill.
So, please, folks, I wasn't going to do this now, but, hey, I'm just going to point out that the health analysis appointments that have been so rare, simply because whenever we make them available, poof, they're gone. Well, I just got word from Bea yesterday again, like I get every Friday. Here's the update. For the entire month of September, when we started today, 2 hours and 14 minutes ago, we had 27 appointments left. They were all in that last week of this month, the last week of September. None in our Tacoma clinic are available, but we had 12 in Kirkland and 15 in, 12 in Kirkland, 15 in Linwood. So they're available. Probably half of those are available still. And so you can get a free health analysis appointment. You're going to have to wait a few weeks before you can come in, but you can go to our website right now and grab one of those free appointments. Yes, they include the two free tests, the blood test and also the special in-body test, which fascinating. And together you can discover what some of your basic health risks are. That's what you need to do. The first step to solving a problem is defining the problem. If you don't measure, you don't know. So let us do it for you. And also, as a special incentive, we're even making it better. You now have a choice. If you make a free health analysis appointment, you can choose between $100 of longevity supplements or our two fitness books and our fitness bands. Your choice. Just for making a free health analysis appointment. Again, not many left. They're all in the end last week of September. And but you can make an appointment literally right this minute because they're available online at lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. You just simply push on the button and the three clinics will show up. You select the clinic. In this case, you'll have to select either Kirkland or Linwood because there are no appointments in Tacoma. Sorry. But push Kirkland or Linwood. Let's say you pushed Linwood. Well, then the Linwood calendar of free appointments shows up on your screen, like Tuesday at 10 o'clock or Wednesday at 3:30, that sort of a thing. You just click on the one that's best for you, and it's yours. So do it. LMClinic.com. All right. I think it's time we need to go to a break. We do have a couple of callers. Suzanne from Bellevue has a question about metoprolol.
Metoprolol.
Oh, Brother, weird. Okay, yes, you were just talking about that. So Suzanne wants, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sharp, but I can't say that. Okay, Margie from Renton wants to know if blood sugar, if her blood sugar is too low, what to do about it, A1C levels. Okay, that's good. Well, we've got two more lines open. How about you calling? 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5757. You are listening to Leading Edge Medicine, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this could be a life-changer show for you today. Keep listening.
Hey, my wife and I are patients of yours for probably 12 years or so. I really appreciate all you guys do. We really do. Comes from my wife, too, because she just loves Dr. Umet. You know, they talk about everything. But thank you very much, and you guys have a great weekend.
I fall to pieces each time I see you again.
I don't know about you, but Patsy Cline, oh. I love that woman.
All right.
Sorry, anyway.
I was just thinking that I Fall to Pieces is a commentary on aging. Is that
yes,
what it
well,
is?
No, I don't
you're
know.
You're getting older, so you're kind of falling to pieces?
I just love her music, even though every freaking song, her love life apparently was miserable from
sounds
all
like
the
it.
Songs. They were all lost loves and what have you. Anyway, that's okay, Pat.
And the guys all have, you know, barroom problems.
That's true. Yeah. Patsy was one of those.
Music.
There was this flurry of these singers during that era that died in their private planes.
Yeah.
And Patsy was one of those. It was just sad. There were lots of that happened, unfortunately. Okay. Where were we? Oh, yes. I've already been reprimanded by our board op at KBI.
Yes.
I didn't give the toll-free number for people to call to make a free health analysis appointment because there's 5% of the people that don't have access to a computer. Maybe 10. I don't know. And so, yes, you can make a free health analysis appointment by calling. However, we're not there today.
That's true.
And we're not.
We're here.
Are we open? We're not. Are the clinics closed on Monday too?
Yes, they are.
They are closed. Not sure. Okay. Well, you'll have to call. You can call and leave a message right now. But if you can figure out how to get on a computer, then you can very likely grab one of those or call, leave a message, or Tuesday morning be first in line by calling 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. All right. Let's go to Bellevue and talk with Suzanne. Suzanne, welcome to the show.
Hello, Suzanne.
Suzanne, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear
okay.
me?
We yes. can indeed.
Yes, we can.
Okay, well, I'm having a real problem because this phone is over 10 years old. And I have the sound as high as I can get it. And I usually use it on speaker because I can't hear on the other end. But you don't want speaker, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. I'm going to click it over to speaker for just a minute and see whether that would work for a short call because I can't
okay.
hear
Let's see.
Nothing on the other end.
All right.
All right, I'm here.
Okay, we
there
hear
we
you.
Go.
Go
You're
ahead.
Okay. Stay close to it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I heard you talking about tocopherol earlier on the other station.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really healthy, and I never really had any serious health problems. But about 2010, I came down with supraventricular tachycardia.
Uh-huh.
And they put me on metoprolol. And, of course, they don't tell you, you know, what all the side effects are, and they expect
sure.
you to stay on forever. But then I got more and more into alternative medicine, and I heard more bad things about it. And so I finally called up the doctor and said, you know, I need to wean myself off of this. You can't do this anymore. And I hadn't had an instance of SVT for a long time.
Good.
So she said I could, and I did. And I haven't had the problem since, and I think it's because I since then, I've gone to naturopathic, and I take a lot of supplements. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm, you know, able to counter whatever's going on in there, and I haven't had any more. So my question, though, is, because I heard you say about your brain, I've got super memory, just super memory. But good. I do, you know, I do go, okay, why am I in the kitchen now? But I have done that for decades. I mean, you know, since I was a lot younger.
Sure.
So now I just learned to discipline myself. When I leave one room, I keep in my mind what it is I need when I get to the kitchen.
Okay.
But, you know, other than that, you know, I can not think about it, but I can remember what I ate yesterday for breakfast. But I'm just wondering what I might need to do to counter the effects of having taken that, because I took it until, I guess I weaned off of it sometime last year, probably.
All right.
And I want to, whatever damage done, I need to, you know, fix that, because of the way I live, I need to have a really, really good brain.
No, I understand. We all do. Really, there is not a counter therapy. You know, the issue with metoprolol and with the other anticholinergic drugs is that the higher the doses, the more of them you take at the same time, and the longer you take them, the more issues you tend to develop. But just as everything else with human beings, some people are very susceptible, and they get damaged by relatively low doses in short periods, and other people are very resilient, and they can take a relatively high dose for longer periods and have no discernible issues. So when we talk about these drugs having adverse impact, we're talking about the median, the average. You know, if you've got 1,000 people taking it, what it turns out is that if people are taking it long-term, that is more than 3 years, and we follow them for the next 10 years, there's a 47% increased risk of significant cognitive decline or early Alzheimer's disease in people that use the drugs. 47% increased risk. Well, that still means that 53% of the people had no increased risk. Okay. So, you know, you apparently fell into the good side. It does not seem to have done you any discernible harm. That's good. You know, roll your eyes to heaven and whisper, thank you, God. Because you've been blessed, right?
Well, I think dosage was, I think like 10 milligrams or something is fairly low, and yeah. I only took one a day.
But yeah, and usually it's 25 to 50 milligrams once or twice a day is
yeah,
the more common 25 dose.
Milligram, oh, there it is, 25 milligram tablet, and it was once a day.
Yeah, so... Okay, so you were on the lower dose and only once a day instead of twice. So, and you apparently, you know, turned out to be the good side. So that's good.
Okay, I thought maybe there was something I could do to kind of reduce damage.
No, all we can do is, you know, if you realize you don't need it, stop. You should take every drug you really need, but don't take any drug that you don't actually need. And
At this point, I have gotten to where I have no diseases whatsoever, and I take no pharmaceuticals of any kind.
And this is good news. May you continue to be blessed for another 20 years, my dear.
Oh, at least. Right? I'm like you. I plan to live more like 150, you know.
Sounds good to me. Let's go out there and raise hell for decades to come.
All right. Suzanne, thank you for your call. Wonderful call. I love Suzanne. All right, let's go to Renton and talk to Margie. Margie, we're glad you
there.
Called too. Hi.
Hello, Margie.
Thank you very much. Okay, well, I'm just calling about blood sugar levels, hemoglobin A1C. Earlier this year, I had some blood tests done, and mine came out to, I think it was 5.8.
Okay.
So it was a little high, right? I didn't want it to be that high. So I came into your wonderful clinic last month and had the 2 free tests done.
Uh-huh.
And meanwhile, I had started taking berberin about a month before. I'd started taking berberin every day.
Good.
And then my results for the A1C came out at 4.2.
Wow. And it's a big change.
It's a big change, and I'm just wondering, that's actually below your normal range.
Yes,
so
it is.
I wondered, is there a problem with going too low?
There may be.
I've back on the berberin because I don't know why it jumped so much so fast.
Anytime I see a change that big, that fast, I repeat the test.
Okay.
Yeah. Nothing done to or by human beings is perfect. And sometimes that laboratory test is supposed to be, you know, very accurate 98% of the time, but that means 2% of the time it's not so good. Uh-huh. And you might have fallen into that 2% trap.
Just kind of an outlier. Let's just do it again.
That's right, yeah. So anytime the lab doesn't match the patient, I repeat the lab.
Could it be also a difference between types of testing? My first one was in just kind of a standard lab.
Yeah. Well, and of course, we have both. We have a full-size laboratory up in Linwood where we do most of our testing. But we've also got a rapid test that is basically a finger stick.
Right.
And it tends to be a little bit less accurate, although it's supposed to be pretty darn close,
within
about 0.1 of the other methodology.
Okay.
But like I said, once in a while, machines aren't perfect, and you put it in, you push the button, and the result comes out with something that just doesn't make much sense. And it sounds to me like that may be what's happened here.
Logic says that it can't happen that fast, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I did wonder a little bit about, is there something off in the testing protocols or whatever?
Yeah. That's just the way it is universally at every lab on the planet. Whenever we run these tests, there are three tests we run for each value you get. We run a low standard, we run a high standard, and then we run you, and we see if the low and the high both came out normal, we assume that the patient sample will be good too. But it's just statistical probabilities, it's not always true.
Okay. Well, also, is there a level at which it's too low? I mean, I don't know what happens when you go below, let's say, 4.
No, let's assume for a moment that test is accurate.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And that you actually came back at 4.2. All that means is only 4.2% of the red blood cells in your system have been damaged by sugar. That's not bad.
That's great, given all this.
Yes, precisely.
In my life.
Yes. So it says that of the cells you have produced over the last 3 to 4 months, because red cells live 120 days or so on average.
Okay.
So of the red cells that are in your system currently circulating, only 4.2% of them have been damaged by the glucose, by the sugar.
Okay.
That's a good thing, not a bad thing.
Okay.
So it's not going to do you any harm.
So even lower can even be better then.
Absolutely. What we say is that the reason those normative values from 4.4 to 6.5 is the so-called normal range, although we consider you pre-diabetic at 5.7, that's the range that 95.6% of the population will fall in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where there's 2.2% of the population will be below that and 2.2% of the population above that. That's just the way we design the curves.
And Margie, thanks for your call. Good stuff. Good stuff. That opens up a line. In fact, we've got three lines open right now. Call us with your questions. Maybe you need a second opinion. For goodness sakes, you got this guy right here, standing right now in the studio, ready to take your call. 1-888-312-5757. That's 1-888-312-5757. When we come back, we've got Dan from Graham, who has a question about ultrasonic procedures for ED. Oh my, okay, that'll be a good one. And then we've got, somebody wanted to know, do we need to refrigerate omega-3s? All right, more when we come back.
I'm in the longevity program in Linwood with Dr. Armstrong, and I'm very happy. And one of the things I realize why it's being very successful for me is that I feel like I have a personal coach.
The night was clear and the moon was yellow and the leaves came tumbling.
not sure why, but I think we've got some sort of mix-up at the station. We've had Pat Boone here on Stagger Lee every week.
Yep. Somebody just likes it over there.
Somebody at KBI really likes this song.
I'm just wondering about that gambling in the dark.
Oh, yeah, I know.
How do you see the dice? Usually in the alleyways, they're playing dice. You know, and
well, alleys can be dark.
Yeah, I understand, but you got to be able to see the dice.
I guess. Okay. Here we go. We've got some more callers that have called in. This is good. Let's go to Graham and talk with Dan. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Dan.
Good morning, doctor and gentlemen. I am a client of yours for the last 8 or 9 months.
Okay.
Because I have type 2 diabetes.
Uh-huh.
And we had an issue with some ED.
Okay.
And I've had a little bit of success. I'm hearing about this ultrasonic treatment for removing the plaque, which is quite
right.
A problem. Circulation is the biggest issue.
Yes.
What do you know about this, and why don't you guys provide it? Because they have to go to a second clinic to finish.
Okay, well, a couple of things.
Further treat.
Sure. The low-intensity shockwave therapy. By the way, are you in a car? It sounds like you've got a lot of wind noise of some sort. Oops. I think he must have touched mute or he fell off. I'm not sure which.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, let's answer this question.
Hopefully he's still listening.
Yeah. Low-intensity shockwave therapy is what he's talking about. It's got an advertised name, which I'm currently forgetting because I never pay attention to the advertised stuff. But the therapy is basically there's a low-intensity shockwave wand. You hold the penis out, and you fire this thing like 70 times on either side. And the idea is to try to do a little bit of minimal damage to the small vessels in the corpus callosum and trigger collateral blood flow, trigger new growth of small blood vessels to improve the blood flow and the filling of the corpus callosum so that you get a better erection. About 70% of the people that undergo the therapy get improvement within the first 3 to 5 therapies. It's not a one-time treatment. You have to be treated several times. But about 7 out of 10 people will get a significant degree of improvement. But within 6 months, half of them have lost the improvement.
Half of the 70.
So you're down to about 35% 6 months or so later. So if you're going to need to then go back and you retreat. Now, I haven't seen the papers. I don't know the statistics on the retreatment. But there are still some people, 25, 28% of the people, a year after their first series of treatments still have improved function. So it is a minority that keep it after one series of treatments. Most people need then a second or even a third series of treatments. And I don't know the long-term numbers on those. The reason we don't have one in our clinic right now is I'm waiting for FDA approval of the newer version. And that is because we have all female medical assistants running it. And a large percentage of men are not comfortable having a woman hold their penis up for 20 or 30 minutes while they're doing all the shockwave therapies. It's just we have an older, somewhat conservative group.
Sure.
And so there is a newer device that uses a linear array in which you simply take the penis, you put it in. There's Velcro straps that hold it down in this linear array. You just push the button, walk out of the room, and in 15 minutes you come back, and the therapy has been done automated by the machine. So as soon as the FDA approves that version, and assuming that its effectiveness is equal to the others, we'll probably get one. But
that makes good sense.
So the handheld version has some social unacceptability to a large percentage of people. And if we could find a male MA, well, that would probably alleviate even that problem. But
well, it's still not.
Male MAs are just hard to find.
Yeah.
Well, we never found one.
That's true. Okay. It's also interesting we talk about this often. You have often talked about the psychological effects associated around ED, and I'll never forget the email that you got from a patient who had been a patient at that time, I think for 12 years. This was a couple of years ago, whose wife had not been a patient at Longevity, mm-hmm. but she finally became a patient at Longevity. She was impressed with how good her husband was feeling, but mm-hmm. he mentioned in the email to you that he was really, really liked being a patient, but he had not been able to get any help with his ED.
Right.
Until
his wife recovered her sex drive. Yeah. There is a significant component. Men have a need to be desired. Nothing arouses a man like a woman who wants him physically. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the old joke, you know, that if you sexually harass a woman, you get a lawsuit, and if you sexually harass a man, you get a thank you note.
Oh, gee, yeah.
You know, okay. we want to be thought of
sure.
as sexual creatures. Men like being desired and wanted. And
so this guy was just letting you know how grateful he was. His wife wanted.
His wife had lost interest many years before, and he lost interest because he no longer felt desired and desirable.
And I think he used the term pity sex. He just pity sex.
Men hate pity sex. All right, you can do it. No, thank you. I think I'll go bowling instead.
Yeah.
The fact is that men want to be desired. We love, you know, the best way to turn on a man, show up at his door naked with beer. I mean, that's just, you know.
Take that with a grain of salt, folks.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because you got to get there, and that's going to upset the neighbors. But there is a real psychological component, and people that are in long-term relationships in which the other party doesn't want them, it hurts, and men get tired of rejection. You can only hurt and reject a man so many times in a row in a long-term marriage, and he's no longer going to find you desirable.
He's
not going to respond to you anymore.
That's right. This guy who emailed you, and apparently you've had numerous situations like this at Longevity, he basically said that he had tried everything.
Everything else had failed.
You know, drugs and everything.
But when we got her desire back, he suddenly regained his erectile function. Yes.
So that's important information.
Yeah, it is.
That's important information.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought I'd bring it up. So thank you much. We're going to go to a break just 1 minute early. And when we come back, we'll talk with John from Federal Way, who has a question about working out. Can you work out too much? Whoa. I'm not sure that. Well, that's probably.
Of course
possible.
You can.
Of course you can. Working out too much. But I don't think that's a problem for too many people. Not in America.
Not the typical American, no.
In any event. But we've got several lines open, so you can call right now and we'll get you on real quickly at 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5757.
I've been away for 5 weeks. I've been in Italy, and I got to tell you, I kind of miss you guys on the weekend. I do have this rare honesty that you find in Europe, but you don't see in the United States. Everybody's too careful about what they say and don't say, and I just love the fact that you tell it like it is.
That little testimonial there, I'm not sure who that was. Maybe one of our patients, I'm not sure, or certainly a listener. We do tell it like it is. It's not.
And sometimes people get upset by that.
There's some people that don't like us talking about sex. And that's just, I think, a problem.
Well, but the reality is healthy human beings are sexual creatures. And if you are not a sexual creature anymore, something is wrong. Something bad has happened. Unless you've never been. You know, sexual desire follows a bell curve just like every other biological function. There are people that are born low drive and never in their life have they had much of a drive at all. And, you know, that's not an issue as long as they're happy and well-adjusted and living their life, unless they happen to marry someone that has a more robust drive.
Yeah.
Now you've got a mismatch. You've got a very low drive person who wants sex maybe once a year with someone else that wants it three times a week. And
it's a problem.
Yeah. One's going to feel stressed and put upon, and the other's going to feel deprived and, you know, and unhappy.
Rejected. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the other extreme, of course, are those people that are driven to have sex several times a day. Most people are in the middle. The average is 2 to 3 times a week. And so, you know, if you get two people, each of whom are about 2 or 3 times a week, you've got a good match. You got two people that are once a month, you got a good match. You got two people that are 3 times a day, you got a good match. It's the mismatch. It's when one is higher, significantly higher or lower than the other, that we get into trouble.
I'm glad you brought that up, because the last call and the last discussion we had was basically making the point that this is why we have so many husbands and wives that come together, because it's a good thing to be feeling good together, sure. Not just one.
Yeah. But one of the problems, and you know that I have sometimes teased you and some of my more conventional folk. this Judeo-Christian concept of going virgin into a marriage in which neither person has any experience. You really have no idea what your functional levels are. And you're purely the luck of the draw, whether you're going to be well matched or not. Yeah. I mean, this has actually been studied, to the number of partners people should have to have the best chances of being well matched with their eventual long-term partner. So experience has its virtues, you know, traditional Judeo-Christian virtue of just having said no your whole life. Low drive people can say no more effectively than high drive people.
That's true.
High drive people are driven. To, you know, that drive has a meaning for that word. Low drive people, they're able to maintain their abstinent lifestyle because they're low drive. And the higher drive you are, the more difficulty you're going to have maintaining that through your adolescence and into early 20s. And that's just the real world. So we kind of set people up for failure in many ways. And I have always said, if biology and morality clash, I always bet on biology.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Okay. Well, we'll have that theological debate at another time.
All right.
But that's okay. I understand the point you're making, and it is a valid reality, is what you've just shared.
Yeah.
That's reality. Now, with that in mind, let me just say, We often, like the guy that I referred to, he had been a patient for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
His wife finally became so impressed with how good he still felt,
yes,
and she was declining. She just had to become a patient. She wanted the energy, the vitality back. Well, she got her libido back.
She got her libido back, and when she got her libido back and when she started desiring him, once more found that he desired her. See, the problem they had without realizing it was, as her libido dropped, she had less and less interest, he was getting rejected, you know, and because nobody wants pity sex. And the reality then, at some point, when a man is rejected repeatedly, he no longer sees her as a sex object. And that's a bad thing. I know we say, oh, I don't want to be a sex object. Well, maybe not. But if a man doesn't see you as a sex object, he's going to lose interest in you.
Yeah. Okay.
Real world.
Fascinating. Fascinating stuff. I've joked about this over the years, but I came from a very, you know my background, because I talked
do.
About it. Sex was not discussed in our home.
I understand. I was raised on military bases. There was nothing else.
Nothing. Okay.
You know, okay. I mean, you got thousands of young guys from 18 to 25 or so, and there's no other topic or conversation.
That's right. So. But not in our home. I think Dad spelled S-E-X a few times during my childhood, but that was about it. Anyway, Okay, here we go. Let us go to John in Federal Way. John, welcome to the program.
Hello, John.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Thank you very much for your program. And you've really been a great help to my wife and me for over 20 years. Unfortunately, she passed away a couple of years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
The problem I'm having is I have a lot of time on hand, so I've been working out probably about at least three times a week. Uh-huh. And I alternate by doing pull exercises and then push exercises with
sure.
recumbent thrown in between. But my weight's gone down to about 145, a little bit less. And I don't really feel like eating that much, but my workout has gone anywhere from probably about an hour 15 to 2 hours. And when I'm working out at the time, it just seems great. Like I do like about 35 pull-ups. And but
wow.
So I'm wondering, am I doing too much and beating up this old 83-year-old body?
Doesn't sound like it to me. You know, generally, over-exercise results in pain and decreased function. You know, if you overstress muscles, then they don't recover before the next workout, and you find yourself actually decreasing in your capacity. Or you overstress the joint or you overstress the ligaments and tendons and you get pain. And obviously, if any of that happens, you need to back off and give it a rest. But my general rule is you should do as much as your body can do without pain on any given day.
I just don't seem to have a problem with that. And recently you suggested human growth hormone. And I think my endurance has gone way up as a result of that. Mm-hmm. Just right smack in the ideal range for the human growth hormone.
Well, and that's what we're shooting for. You know, it is a growth factor, and it allows tissues to grow and recover. So, you know, I'm not going to ask you who is writing your prescription because this is Washington State, and I don't want to get that doctor into trouble. I do want to specify that it's not one of the guys in my clinic because, you know, we follow our State Board of Medicine rules, even though they're stupid and in opposition to the federal laws.
But, and science.
Yes. But whoever is doing it for you is doing a good thing.
Yeah, I got my prescription written in Arizona, and I ordered the prescription from Mexico.
Sure. Yep. And
New Mexico.
Yeah, there are only three states in the union that ignore the federal law, Washington, Oregon, and Massachusetts. And the other 47 states, the doctors can write growth hormone as indicated. And Arizona is one of those states. So, all right.
Sounds good there, John.
Yeah. No, John, as long as it's not physical, yeah. Right?
Stay active, John. Keep moving. That's the only way to go.
We appreciate your call, John. Thanks so much. Let's go to Tumwater and talk with Lois. Lois, hi there.
Hi. I am 91, and I made up my mind a long time ago. I didn't want to be a lump sitting around someplace when I got old, and so what? I'm not sitting around. But my brain is, I can't remember things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be talking about something, and the next time I wanted to say that word, do you think I could find it?
I understand. So, your question is what, young lady?
Well, what can I do to help me be better? If I'm going to be here, I want to be my best.
Absolutely. Well, I agree with that. Well, at Longevity, we do have a memory program. We have a program designed specifically to help people preserve and, to the degree possible, recover their cognitive function. And it's reasonably successful. So, you know, it's not simple. It involves looking at your hormone balances, your inflammatory balances. We may need to measure heavy metals. We look at your diet. We look at your physical activity. And we put you on a series of medications and supplements that are designed specifically to help you to grow new connections and tissues in your brain. Get that that hypothalamus and so on to hypertrophy again, to start growing. So, yeah. But, you know, there's nothing magic that I can tell you, go to a drugstore and buy this or that and it'll fix the problem. It's a difficult problem to fix, and we have a rather complex program involved trying to help you. Usually we can, but, you know, nothing done to or by humans is perfect, and that Lois, includes us.
Lois is 91, and some people think, oh, I'm in my 90s, it's too old.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. No, it's not. So, yeah.
And again, we should at least try. If we try, we might fail. But if we don't try, we can't possibly succeed.
And Lois, I would like you to keep listening into our second hour here on 570 KVI. I think we should talk a little bit more about cognition when we come back with our number two. We got to take about a 2 or 3 minute break. It's the law that says we have to do a station ID at exactly 11 o'clock, top of the hour. And then I think there's about a minute or two of news, and we'll be back for the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. So don't go far. We'll be back before you know it. We got all the lines open. Call us right now at 1-888-312-5757, and we'll take your calls. 1-888-312-5757.